Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Adam Olean, Vicar Albert Bader. We are looking at the readings for the first Sunday after Epiphany, and that's what we do on Proclaiming the One. We take a look at the readings for the one-year series in Lutheran Service Book. We are looking at these readings to help us prepare for our Sunday morning worship and also to extol the one and only Savior from our sins, the one Lord Jesus Christ.
We would like to invite you to our worship services here at Good Shepherd. We have worship every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and at 10:30 with Bible study in between. And on Wednesday evenings, we have church services as well.
Very good, Pastor. And yes, since we've been talking about Lord Jesus at 12 years old, finding his way into the temple to hear the word of God, much to the dismay of Mary and Joseph, or shock and surprise of them, probably be a good time to remind everyone to be in God's house on these cold, snowy, wind chill winter days. It's pretty easy to roll over when the alarm goes off on Sunday morning, but avoid that temptation to just listen to the radio. Come to God's house, be with God's people, receive God's gifts. We've been, over the last several months, we've been taking a little extra time on Sunday mornings during our worship service and also during Proclaiming the One to examine our epistle readings. The epistle reading is many times, I would say the vast majority of the time, a practical application of the theological lessons that we've heard thus far in our program. And that is exactly the case here in First Sunday after Epiphany readings. So, Vicar, the epistle is Romans 12, 1 to 5. Would you read those words, please?
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
We have a rich text here from Romans chapter 12. Pastor, before we get into the specifics of this text, help us understand the structure of the book of Romans. I know a lot of people would like to start their study of Romans right here with how to live in Romans chapter 12. Briefly, what happens in the first 11 chapters of Romans before we get to this practical application of sanctified living?
It is
you have 60 seconds or less.
It is a little funny that we're asking to do it briefly. In our Bible study, we've been studying the first two chapters for several months. But we do have to, in the book of Romans, we start with the fact that we are sinful creatures that go against God's word to our own base desires. And then we have to talk about how Christ comes and forgives that sin by his cross and by his resurrection, sets us free from the power of sin so that we might live a life as Christians, and then we can talk about these things, about what that living a life as Christian might look at. So that's a very, very brief summary of the first part of the book.
Okay, and that's the way the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers, often structure their letters, their epistles, is we have a clear proclamation of law and gospel. And then after that clear proclamation of law and gospel, we have this third use of the law, this sanctified living. There's a Greek word that escapes me. I'll think of it before the end of the program. That paranesis, which is the teaching aspect of God's word. And that's right where we are here with Romans 12. This is not how to become a Christian. No. This is once you have become a Christian by grace through faith on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ, how you are to live. And we have this appeal that God is making through Paul by the mercy of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, when I think of sacrifices, I think of Old Testament times. I think of the priest. I think of dead animals. I think of this sweet aroma of the burnt offering going up to God. The concept of a living sacrifice is completely foreign to my brain. Help me out here, Pastor. How can there be such a thing as a living sacrifice?
Well, you know, in the way we think of sacrifices in the Old Testament, there's really not. The sacrifice has its throat slit, the blood captured, it's cut into pieces and laid on an altar and burned. And it's very difficult to live through that process. Maybe that's putting it a little lightly. But now as Christianity sees Christ as the fulfillment of that, that he's the one who dies, sheds his blood, and is the sacrifice that forgives all sins, now we live a life that is a sacrifice to God by seeking to fulfill God's word, by joining together in common worship, by living, basically the simplest way to put it, living as a Christian. That is a living sacrifice, and we do that in our body. We don't allow our bodies to be overtaken by the base desires of this world, but rather we listen to God's word and we seek to do what God's word says.
So, in other words, this is a call to repentance.
It is. Repentance and faith, those two things seem to always go together. They're the opposite sides of the same coin. When we repent, then we live a life of faith, and a life of faith seeks to fulfill God's will.
I heard a sermon right here on KNNALP 95.7 by Pastor Rolf Preuss just recently, where the whole sermon was about repentance. And one of the ways Pastor Preuss described repentance, I thought, was just profound and brilliant. Repentance is saying yes to the law of God, which condemns us, and saying yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which forgives us on account of the person and work of Jesus. Many times we look at repentance as only being sorry for our sins and not being sorry with faith in the forgiveness of sins. This living sacrifice talk here, I think, is so important for us. We are to die to ourselves and live to Christ. This is living in our baptism. This is living in repentance. Nobody wants to die. We don't want to die to ourselves. We don't want to repent. We don't want to live for others. And yet this is what the life of a Christian is, patterned after the life of Christ, who was chopped up on the altar of the cross and quick fried by the fire of God's wrath to bring about our salvation.
Right. And that's, I mean, I think that point of repentance, faith going together is so important, and we often miss that because if it's just being sorry for sin, Judas, after he betrayed Christ, was really sorry for his sin. But the part that was missing was the faith that trusted in forgiveness of sin through Christ. And even as he goes to the temple to try and buy forgiveness, he's missing the whole point of where true faith comes from, which is faith that Christ dies for you and that you have forgiveness in him alone. And as a result of his feeling sorry for his sin, he takes his own life because the faith part is missing.
He tries to buy his own reconciliation and forgiveness by giving back the money. And what always happens when you try to work out or earn your own salvation and earn your own forgiveness, you always end up in despair. We need to expand on that on a different program. We have got a lot of little things here that we're not going to be able to look on, but this offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is your spiritual worship. Pastor, I have never, ever, ever heard worship defined in this way before. Help me out here. What is the problem with the way 21st century Americans or Western culture looks at worship in contrast to how God describes it here in Romans 12.
Well, how does America look at worship? That particular thing we could talk about for days as well. But so often the way that worship is understood in our world is that worship begins in us, in our heart, and in the things that we do, and that we are then giving something to God, and then in return, God is happy or pleased with us. When actually worship begins with God and what he says in his word. He gives his word, and then we speak that word back to him. And the reason that we try to live a holy life is because God has given us his word and told us what is good, right, and pleasing in his eyes. And then in response to that word, as Christians, forgiven in Christ and finding our salvation in him alone, we then seek to do those things in our life, and that's the response to what God has given. And that then is spiritual worship, when he's given us faith that trusts in him, and then as a result we seek to do the things that he wishes that we do. But it has to begin with his gift first, otherwise it's not really worship at all. It's rather us, you know, throwing prayers up in the sky hoping one sticks, and it doesn't work that way. And so worship always has to begin with God and what he says in his word. He tells us our forgiveness of sins, and now we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. That's the spiritual worship of God, seeking to fulfill his will because he has saved us in Christ.
The text goes on to give us a laundry list of what those spiritual sacrifices, those dying to ourself looks like. We're to discern the word of the will of God, which is we discern that only through his word, to know what's good and acceptable and perfect. We are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We are to look with sober judgment upon everything. And we are also to realize at the end of our text something that we fail to in this rugged individualism, it's all about me world, is to look at the corporate nature of Christianity and the corporate nature of church. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not always have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Those of you that have attended Good Shepherd, oftentimes when I make announcements at the beginning of church, especially those times when we have a few extra moments to greet one another, I remind the people of God that we are one in Christ Jesus. And this is missing in our churches today. Back in the olden days, even when I was a kid, church was a very, very much social place to be. Nowadays, not so much so. People sneak in, they sneak out, they don't want to greet anybody, they don't want to notice anybody, even to the point where we don't even want to, the church service is too long. Why all these prayers? I don't know these people. I don't care about these people. Repent. Repent. We are one in the body of Christ. And when one person is missing from corporate worship, when one person is missing from the life of the church, the whole body suffers. We are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, dying to ourselves and living in and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish we had three more segments today to pull this apart. I guess you're just going to have to come to church on Sunday and hear a little bit more. For Pastor Moline and Vicar Bader, this is Pastor Clint Poppy. Thanks for tuning in to Proclaiming the One. We'll see you again next week. God's richest blessings in Christ.